May the Lord help us to commence our service with the hymn on the hymn sheet. This is a very solemn hymn about the sufferings of Christ. May we be helped to sing with reverence and with the question, is it for me? Am I this weeping, mourning, lamenting soul? Surely Christ thy griefs has borne, weeping soul no longer mourn. View him bleeding on the tree, pouring out his life for thee. There thy every sin he bore, weeping soul, lament no more. The hymn on the hymn sheet.
evening I wish to read from three portions of God's holy word. The first two you'll find in the book of Psalms. Firstly, Psalm 45. The 45th Psalm. My heart is inditing a good matter. I speak of the things which I have made touching the king. My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. Thou art fairer than the children of men. Grace is poured into thy lips. Therefore God hath blessed thee for ever. Gird thy sword upon thy thigh, O most mighty, with thy glory and thy majesty, and in thy majesty ride prosperously because of truth and meekness and righteousness. And thy right hand shall teach thee terrible things. Thine arrows are sharp in the heart of the king's enemies, whereby the people fall under thee. Thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. The scepter of thy kingdom is a right scepter. Thou lovest righteousness and hatest wickedness. Therefore God, thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. All thy garments smell of myrrh and aloes and cassia. Out of the ivory palaces, whereby they have made thee glad, kings' daughters were among thy honourable women. Upon thy right hand did stand the queen in gold of Ophir. Hearken, O daughter, and consider, and incline thine ear. Forget also thine own people and thy father's house. So shall the king greatly desire thy beauty, for he is thy Lord, and worship thou him. And the daughter of Tyre shall be there with a gift, even the rich among the people shall entreat thy favour. The king's daughter is all glorious within, her clothing is of wrought gold. She shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions that follow her, shall be brought unto thee. With gladness and rejoicing shall they be brought. They shall enter into the king's palace. Instead of thy fathers shall be thy children, whom thou mayest make princes in all the earth. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. Now let us turn to Psalm 72. Psalm 72. Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall judge thy people with righteousness, and thy poor with judgment. The mountains shall bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. They shall fear thee as long as the sun and moon endure, throughout all generations. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, and abundance of peace so long as the moon endureth. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. The kings of Tarshish and of the isles shall bring presents, the kings of Sheba and Seba shall offer gifts. Yea, all kings shall fall down before him, all nations shall serve him. For he shall deliver the needy when he crieth, the poor also and him that hath no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. And he shall live, and to him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for him continually, and daily shall he be praised. There shall be an handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. His name shall endure for ever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name for ever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. Now let us turn to Paul's epistle to the Philippians, chapter 2, and we'll just read the first 11 verses. Philippians chapter 2, the first 11 verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now we'll leave the reading of God's holy word. May he bless it to us and help us in prayer. O Lord God of heaven and of earth, we come before thee through our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. We thank thee that he is our great high priest above, and Lord, that we may draw near upon this ground and pleading his precious name alone. We thank thee for thy precious promises, and that acceptance at thy throne of the meeting upon the mercy seat. And O Lord, we do seek that mercy through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. O Lord, we do seek to bow before thee in the attitude of worship, for thou alone art worthy to be praised, and the honour and glory of salvation is to be upon thy head. Lord, we do thank thee for that precious name of Jesus, and that thou shalt save thy people from their sins. We thank thee for the finished work upon Calvary. We thank thee for the seal and sign of it, the empty tomb, the giving of thy Spirit, and especially the witness in sinners' hearts. And O Lord, that we may gather together on this occasion and seek thy grace and seek thy blessing, and seek also that in the proclamation of the gospel that sinners might be saved, that thy people might be comforted and helped, and that thou hast granted deliverance out of Satan's hand. And we do pray that thou hast delivered us from him who so often stands at our right hand to resist us. How often it is felt upon those that stand upon the walls of Zion that he is attacking them even while they stand in thy name. And O Lord, we pray for thy servants that are gathered with us this evening, that thy blessing might be upon them and upon their ministry, and that thou would remember each of thy servants as they stand in thy name. And Lord, we are mindful again of how it is that we are here on this annual occasion. We pray that thou hast comfort the bereaved widow of thy dear servant, Mr. Broom. We thank thee for the remembrance of his ministry and testimony. And Lord, that thou hast comfort the Church of God, and do remember the churches, and do grant us that witness that thy Spirit remaineth among us. O Lord, we do pray that thou would remember us here at this time. We thank thee for another year of thy faithfulness and goodness in maintaining the congregation and church here at Swavesey. And O Lord, we pray that that witness in this town might yet continue many years, and that there might be those that are brought in here as strangers and brought to be dear beloved brethren. We pray for those that go past these doors that know of the existence of the candlestick here, and may they be constrained to come and hear thy word. We seek thy blessing upon each that gather statedly here. Bless the families, the little ones. Bless our dear brothers in the diaconate here, and do bless the church here. Lord, do remember those amongst them, exercise, prayerful, watching, seeking, and do lead on and draw unto thyself and reveal a precious Jesus. O Lord, we pray for each that have gathered here this evening. Bless each cause that is represented and may thou strengthen the little hills of Zion. Lord, we have some among us that have just a few that gather, and Lord, those that are favoured with greater numbers, and Lord, we pray that thou would visit and bless each cause of truth. We would bring before thee those and with thee dear friends here who do not have a pastor over them. We pray that if it could please thee in thy time and way, that thou would provide for them an under-shepherd to go in and out amongst them and to feed them. O Lord, we seek this blessing upon the ground of thy own promise that thou hast give pastors after thine own heart. And Lord, we do see that thou hast bring in their hearts that exercise. And Lord, if it is there, do bring unto them the man that thou hast appointed to go before them. O Lord, do be pleased to help each one of thy churches and each one of thy servants that is found in that office. And O Lord, that thou hast shine on thy churches. And Lord, our little denomination, we do pray thy blessing. We thank thee for the brethren. We thank thee for that love and union. We thank thee for where it is felt and where there is that heart that goeth with heart. O Lord, do thou maintain that blessing. And Lord, where there are those afflictions and trials, and thou knowest those here, that they come into thy house, and outwardly to others, there may not appear to be any burden or trial at all. They have health outwardly appears and strength, but Lord, thou knowest every heart's bitterness, and thou knowest every sorrow, every bereavement, every heaviness. And O Lord, that thou hast turned these bitter things to work for good, and that there might be that fellowship with thee, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And O Lord, that there might be a balancing of the clouds, that there might also be, Lord, that submission and grace given that only can come from thee to all thy righteous and holy and good will. O Lord, we do seek that we might be found in thy hand and in thy will and in thy way, and that we might be found at last to be with thee in heaven. O Lord, we seek the blessing of the pardon and forgiveness of our every sin. We pray that there might be daily and hourly repentance given, and a godly fear placed before our eyes, a hatred of sin and a mourning over it, that we might not be left to enter into temptation, but be delivered out of Satan's hand. Save us from this bewitching world. Lord, we pray to be delivered from all its allurements, and that we might not be hardened, but oft softened by thy grace. Lord, we thank thee for the children and young people that are here. We seek thy blessing in their hearts and lives. Bless those that seek amongst them, and remember those that may be careless and indifferent, and do quicken them into life. May they seek and find thee while they are young. Remember that thou hast said that those that seek me early shall find me. And O Lord, do be pleased to cause the young here to seek thee early, and those in trials and tribulations as well, that we might seek thee early in them and not the last. O Lord, how backward we are. We fear that we have to confess it before thee. We are like it is described in Psalm 107. They fell down and there was none to help. And Lord, we have to confess that hitherto we had not looked and all cried unto thee for help. But then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. And Lord, we confess then our backwardness, our neglect of the throne of thy grace, our neglect of fleeing unto Thee, our best friend, our helper, our strength and Redeemer and Saviour. O Lord, we do sing that we might not forget Thee, but that we might remember Thee and be brought back to Thee again and again. O Lord, we seek that help then for each here. Thou hast laid it upon one that is mighty. Send help from the sanctuary, strength out of Zion. May there be those that go home today and clearly able to say that my help is in the name of the Lord that made heaven and earth. And, O Lord, may there be those that truly do know that Thou hast sent that help and the arm of Thy strength, and that Thou hast borne them up, and that Thou hast put Thy word in their hearts, and that Thou hast revived them and strengthened them with those heavenly cordials of love and mercy and the gospel of Thy grace. Lord, we beg for the Holy Spirit. We pray for power attending the word. We pray that the earthen vessel that is used might be cleansed and purged and made Thy messenger in Thy message. And Lord, that Thou hast granted to come purely from Thee into sinners' hearts. O Lord, help then the afflicted, infirm and aged amongst us. And Lord, if it could please Thee to bring Thy word to those who are unable to gather, that they might receive it at home. And may the hearts of those here be so filled with it that they cannot but speak and recommend the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, point to Thy redeeming blood, tell to sinners round what a dear Saviour they have found. O Lord, we seek that those precious things of the everlasting gospel might be our meat and our drink and enter into our hearts and satisfy our souls. May we truly be satisfied with the goodness of Thy house. May our cup run over, that there be no more room to receive any more. And then may we take that cup of salvation and render our vows and praises unto Thee. O have mercy upon us, hear us for good, and bless us not for our sakes, but for Thy own great name's sake. For Thou art worthy to be praised, adored, and worshipped. For Thou art He that hath died and risen again, and sitteth at the right hand of the throne of God. Thou art the God of salvation, and we seek to render that praise due unto Thee. Accept then of our thanks for every blessing, temporal and spiritual, and teach our tongues to sing Thy eternal praise. We ask through Thy name, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Hymn number 45. How can ye hope, deluded souls, to see what none e'er saw? Salvation by the works obtained of Sinai's fiery law. Hymn 45.
Thank you.
direct your prayerful attention unto the first passage that we read, Psalm 45, and the last verse, verse 17. Psalm 45 and verse 17, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. May the Lord help us as we look at this word of prophecy, this word of prophecy concerning our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. The Apostle, when he wrote to the Hebrews, he refers to this psalm here. And he says in the second of Hebrews how that the word that is spoken here, it truly sets forth the Lord Jesus Christ in the first chapter of Hebrews and verse 8. But unto this Son he saith, thy throne, O God, is for ever and ever. A sceptre of righteousness is the sceptre of thy kingdom. Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, hath anointed thee with the oil of gladness above thy fellows. It's a precious thing when we can see the Lord Jesus Christ in the scriptures of truth, when we can see him set forth as pointing unto him and to his work, and then when we can see that which has been foretold fulfilled. You know, the disciples, especially at the time of our Lord's coming, they knew at those times that they stood in the fulfillment of prophecy. They recognized it. They did so when the Lord was born. They did so when the Holy Spirit was given. They were able to point unto the verses in the prophets that spoke of the outpouring of the Spirit, and they realized that they were in the fulfillment of that word. And that will be so right until the end of time. There will be those sinners, the Lord's people, that stand in Scripture, that are actually part of that which is prophesied of the saving of the people of God. And really in our text, it really concerns, well, every generation right to the end, and to a people that shall surely glorify and remember and know the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that would be a wonderful thing if in this assembly one could feel and say that the Lord has made his name to be remembered in my heart and in my life, and it is a precious name, a name that means so much to me and is the cause of praise from my heart. We want to look with the Lord's help at this word, this which sets forth a name to be remembered, and to look firstly that there is a name to be remembered, and then secondly there is a generation to remember it, and then thirdly that in this verse is a subject of eternal praise. But firstly, there is a name to be remembered. When Nebuchadnezzar had a dream and he had forgotten that dream, but he knew that he did have a dream. There was a dream there, but he needed it to be brought to his remembrance. Even if something is forgotten, then it is that if it is be remembered, there must be something there first. And so the God of heaven revealed to Daniel and revealed what that hidden thing was, and then what the interpretation was. And where the name of the Lord is to be remembered, there is there a substance, there is that which is to be remembered. And this is then a very precious thing for the Church of God, a substance, something that is real, something that has truly the crown of heaven to be upon it, and the Lord's blessing to be upon it. Right from the very beginning of the world, the Lord has revealed that there is to be a promised Saviour, the seed of the woman that should bruise the serpent's head. And then throughout time, he has given those prophecies like this one, pointing to him and pointing to his work, the types and the shadows that show forth his death, his sufferings, and what he should accomplish. But so much is bound up in scriptures and set forth in the name that is given him. We read of Paul's writing to the Philippians, and how that he was to be given a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And it was because of his sufferings, because of his condescension, because of his rising again, what he should accomplish at Calvary. Throughout the Old Testament, there were several that inquired after the name of our Lord. Why askest thou after my name, seeing it is secret? And it was not to be revealed until that blessed time when we hear from the angel, his name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Not might or maybe, but shall. And is bound up in his name, the name of Jesus. And yet the Lord has many names, many crowns, and each setting forth some aspect of the glorious office and work of our Lord and Saviour. The name of Emmanuel, God with us. The name of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and of truth. The name of Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. If the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. And it is the names that are given unto our Lord that show something of his work, and his work and place for sinners. Our Lord sets forth as the good shepherd that giveth his life for the sheep. And it is that name then of the good shepherd that is then tied in with the Lamb of God, slain from the foundation of the world. And as John the Baptist pointed him out, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Really, what is set forth here is not just a particular name, but the whole of the work of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. What he should accomplish at Jerusalem was spoken upon that Mount of Transfiguration. That's what Moses and Elias were speaking with our Lord on. And then there was seen no man but Jesus only, one that should be one to deliver from the law, fulfill the prophets, and to be left the one name given among men whereby ye must be saved. Our Lord said, if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall perish in your sins. There is none other name and none other way of salvation but through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it is in the work of our Lord Jesus Christ that is the salvation of the people of God. And really, even looking at it in a, shall we say, a more superficial way, the remarkable thing, 2,000 years since our Lord was upon this earth, and yet still we gather as many assemblies, and the Word of God is before us, the Gospel is proclaimed, his name is still known in this earth. It is not like so many that is forgotten and gone, but it is still proclaimed. And the Lord has said that, lo, I am with you even unto the end of the world. But even in an outward way, we have still the same truths, the same gospel, the same message of salvation as first was sent forth when the disciples went from the day of Pentecost, empowered by the Spirit, and the word was blessed the churches with great effect. And what did they preach? But what the Apostle Paul preached, we determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and him crucified. May we always know this, that there is a name to be remembered. There is not one that is dead, but one that is alive. There's one point that Elijah had to bring before Israel. You say Israel, they were God's covenant people. They had seen many signs and many wonders. How could they possibly be deceived by Baal, by idolaters, and by a God that was not a living God? And yet they were. And they were brought to trial upon that Mount Carmel, and the answer was from a living God who could answer with fire from heaven and that bore witness of his presence and his power from heaven. And that is what is still needed, and that is what is still set before us and prophesied here of what the Lord will do. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore shall the people praise thee for ever and ever. It is not something that was just done, and I speak reverently, just done at Calvary, that then is reported and rehearsed and learned about from one generation to another without any work of this living and eternal God to make that name to be remembered. What is spoken of here is one that is alive in heaven, one that is the mediator of the new covenant, one that is the ever-living God and bears witness in the hearts of his people. What a sad thing if it would be that the Church of God standing relied upon the teaching going forth in a natural way from one generation to another, and gradually as it were getting weakened and weakened. But the gospel and the work of God in sinners' hearts, in each sinner, yes, they're using means and using the word and preaching, but each sinner is taught from God, is not delegated to another man. No, they shall all be taught of God. And so however far the generations go, that teaching is not diluted, is not lost, not in the true elect taught of God sinner, because it comes from heaven, and they bear that mark of the same divine instructor. And what is set before us then in this verse, that it is the Lord that shall make thy name to be remembered. And so I want to notice, secondly, that there is a generation to remember it. When we think this, the generations are a constantly rolling thing, aren't they? There's no distinct generation. You find even with our families that there will be those of two different generations at a very similar age. But as time goes on, though the inhabitants upon the earth, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. And I felt sometimes the word in Deuteronomy where it says that as thy days, so shall thy strength be. And you know, our days today are very different than our forefathers. The generations before us, years before us, did not have cars, they did not have computers and mobile phones and all of the things we have now. They had their horses and carts and manual labour, very different in their lives. But each generation, this promise stands the same. Whatever is the outward, the need of man in his soul and the need of redemption, a need of pardon and forgiveness, a need of Calvary, a need of this precious name, remains the same. Oh, it does so grieve me to hear those that profess godliness and that they say that we need a gospel for the 21st century. It is the same precious truths. And the needs of your soul is the same as those right back in the days, the times of the Apostle J, right back to Adam's day. There's no substitute for the precious truths of the gospel bound up in the name of our Lord. And so there will be always, and is set forth before us here, a generation to remember the name of the Lord. It won't die out in the earth. It will be remembered. And so then we read here, I will make. It's a promise of the Lord's work. Make it to be remembered. Make it to be remembered, firstly, in that work of grace that you do in a sinner's heart. How is it that it can be that a generation, or as from family, from a parent to a child, that it gets that this name is completely forgotten? With the children of Israel, we might look at the records and we say, how could they possibly forget? It's only so many years. But I look at my own family, and I look at my own brothers, and they've departed from the ways of the Lord. Their children are brought up as heathens. They now have children, and theirs have no idea of the things of God whatsoever. And if it then were relied just on one passing to the next, what a solemn thing. And yet the Lord has a work of grace. He has a people that were given him by the Father, and a people that he shall make his name to be remembered. And so it is what he works in their hearts, and what he does to teach them and instruct them of himself. And really bound up with this in the work of God's grace. There's those particular things that make his name to be remembered. With each they are to be brought to feel themselves as a sinner. Sinners can say, says the hymn writer, and none but they, how precious is the Saviour. His name shall be called Jesus, for he shall save them from their sins. The very malady points unto his name. Their very need points to the provision of the Lord. He made his name to be remembered by causing a sinner to be in the very condition for which he came. We have also that the Lord does work in his people's hearts to bring them into a want of which the provision is provided by the Lord. In type, this is how the Lord used it with Jacob and his son Joseph. Joseph was sent forth to preserve their lives by great deliverance. Jacob didn't know that. His brothers didn't know that. It had been foretold in dreams. But as time went on, you might say, Jacob, he didn't forget his son. He couldn't have been praying for him. He didn't know he was alive. But then there came to be a famine in the land of Canaan. And Jacob said, I have heard that there is corn in Egypt. And through the famine and through their need, and through where the provision was, then they were brought to be into Egypt. And there they were brought to have Joseph revealed to them. Perhaps on the same line there we have Joseph that was in prison, revealed the dream to the butler, and yet the butler forgot him. You think, how could it possibly be so that in a natural way, that there is Joseph forgotten in the prison, and yet he told this dream and wonderfully opened it up to the butler. But then it came that Pharaoh had a dream, and no one could interpret the dream for Pharaoh, and that was what the Lord used to make the butler remember Joseph. And so then Joseph was called for from the prison. Hitherto is no use for him. He didn't need to be remembered at all. But now there is the want, a dream, needing to be opened up. And then there's a call for him. With Jacob, now there is a famine. Now there is a need of the provision. And the Lord uses this way to cause his name to be remembered. It was so with the prodigal son. Our Lord spoke of him, how that he went from his father's house and squandered his living in riotous living. And then there came a famine in the land. And it was through that he remembered his father's house. Through that was used to look again in that direction and a desire to return to it. And it's good for us to notice those things that the Lord uses. He warned the children of Israel that when they went into Canaan and that they got riches and houses and lands, beware lest thou forget the name of the Lord thy God and say that my hand and my might hath got me all of these things and have no need of these things. We read of Uzziah, the king of Israel, who also served the Lord, and the Lord wonderfully blessed him until he was strong. And then he went into the house of God. Then he presumed to offer the incense, which was for the priests only. Then his heart was lifted up when he was strong. And it is when the Lord is pleased then to bring down those who have been made strong in themselves, bring them to be in want, then they remember their father's house. Then they are brought to remember this name. And I say it to the young people that are here, And you may have your studies, you go to university, and many things that allure you and draw you to different things in this life. It may well be, I pray it won't, but that you try to banish and blot out and forget all of what you've been brought up to believe and know concerning the Lord. But if the Lord brings you then into want and into trouble and into trial, then may you remember him and know that very often this is how the Lord brings his people to look again, like Jonah was, from the depth of in the sea. Yet will I look again toward thy holy temple. Then it is he remembered the Lord. The Lord uses these. I have chosen thee in the furnace of affliction. The Lord uses those bitter trials, hard things. And it causes this name which otherwise is forgotten and no use for and not pleaded for to be more precious and to be more needed. I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. There's another aspect as well. You know, the Lord uses things to join together with spiritual blessings and natural blessings to remember what the Lord has done. When the children of Israel went through Jordan, they were there to raise up a heap of stones in Jordan and outside Jordan. And it was for the purpose that when their children in years to come, generations to come, would see those stones and they would ask, what meaneth these stones? Then they were to be told that the Lord divided Jordan and to brought them safely through. And those outward stones were to be as an opening to tell forth what the Lord had done, what the Lord had delivered them from. And so we have even now one of the ways that the Lord uses to assure us of his remembrance, and that is the rainbow. Think of when the world was destroyed with the flood and the Lord gave the promise that he would not anymore destroy the world in that way. He said, I do set my bow in the cloud that I will look upon it and I will remember my covenant that I had made with all flesh. And in seeing that, we remember what the Lord has said. Remember also that the Lord is looking upon it, and the Lord does not forget. And the Lord then uses these methods and ways, and there may be some of you here, the Lord has favoured and blessed you in your soul with a revealing through the scriptures of truth of his dear beloved Son, and that which he has accomplished at Calvary. That's been very precious to you when he has fulfilled that promise. And I, if I be lifted up above the earth, will draw all men unto me. And you've been drawn and attracted unto him. It may be that the adversary of our souls has to come in and said, you just imagine that. That was not a real blessing. That was not really from heaven. That was not really that which the Lord spoke to you. You've just taken it, or you've just imagined it. But what the Lord has done has given something to cause his name to be remembered, not just in the soul, but also outwardly. You may answer to the devil, if that was just imagined, then why such a change in my life? Why before that was I so low and so cast down? And why afterwards was I so strengthened and encouraged? Paul would say, why was it that beforehand I was persecuting the people of God, but now afterwards, after the Damascus Road, now I am preaching the Lord Jesus Christ? You might go through Psalm 107, and each time of those deliverances in answers to prayer. You say, are those real answers to prayer? Well, what a difference. There was a turning point in every time in their trials. They fell down, none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their destructions and out of their distresses. They didn't remain the same. Those prayers were changing points. Those were points where the Lord appeared for them. And so in that, he has caused his name to be remembered by what he has done. His deeds, why the children of Israel, years and years after the things that were done in Egypt, you find in the days of Samuel, the Philistines, when the ark went through the country and they were being afflicted as the ark went through city after city, then they said, who is able to stand before this God? This is the God that destroyed Egypt. They remembered all what had been done in Egypt, what they'd heard reported there, because of what was now being done in their own land. May it be with some of you here, that in what the Lord does in your heart and in your lives, that then you remember what you have heard reported and done through the scriptures or in others' lives, and through that means that his name is then to be remembered. No, by nature we forget the Lord. We have no need of him. His name is not precious at all. But it's very sweet, and very often when the Lord has favoured my soul, I've then sung that beautiful hymn, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. And it sets forth that sweetness and loveliness of the Saviour who visits and comes to his people and causes them to remember his name. Might be one of you here feeling so low, so downcast, so troubled, so much in trial and affliction. And yet in this, you've forgotten that precious name. May it be this afternoon that means whereby that name is remembered. I will look again toward thine holy temple. I will cause, I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. The blessed work of the Holy Spirit, he shall receive of mine and shall reveal it unto you. He shall not speak of himself, but he shall magnify and lift up and glorify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is the promise of the Lord, that which he shall do from generation to generation. There is in the church of God, given by God, ordinances that set forth this, what the Lord has said to his people, this do in remembrance of me. As oft as ye do eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show forth the Lord's death till he come. There's a looking back unto his death. There's a looking forward until his coming. And there is in the church of God a remembrance. We heard this afternoon of the sacrifices and offerings of bulls and of goats that could never take away sin, but there is remembrance made of sins every year. The ordinance of the Lord's Supper is remembrance of that one sacrifice that is offered forever. Really, there's only one sacrifice for sin that this world will ever know, has ever known. All of the others pointed to that. Your sins are put away and mine. They were there at Calvary's tree. There they were blotted out. There they were put away. There the Lord truly bore our sin in his body on the tree. There he groaned under the weight of them. There he endured the wrath of his Father and the hiding of his Father's face. There he endured the curse. That in time, as each generation is born into this world, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. They shall remember him. It shall be that I will make thy name to be remembered in all generations. And when they are brought then to remember that in their soul's experience and look unto him, their faces lightened. And when there they find that life in his name, then that is right, that they are the ones that should set this forth in his appointed way in the house of God. It's a great privilege in this way to show forth his death. Baptism, buried with him in baptism, risen again in newness of life. A change, not the same. A difference wrought by God and wrought through the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have the ordinance of the Lord's Supper again to show forth his name. Not man's devising, God's devising. Not a believer's choice, but the Lord's command to a believer. Not a believer's duty, a believer's privilege. It is not the result of force, but of love. If ye love me, keep my commandments, as the Lord made his name to be remembered by you. Is it a name that is sweet? Is it a name that is above every name in your heart? Could you say, and some of the Lord's people really struggle to say it in need grace, really, and I could from all things parted be, but never, never, Lord, from thee. That is the name. Why, we read in another hymn, the Father loves to hear his children plead. Plead the name of Jesus. Remember one very sacred time in such soul trouble and not knowing what to do or how to read the Bible, and those words dropped in, plead the name of Jesus. If ever I found a sweet and sacred time in the path of prayer, it was then. I will make thy name to be remembered. And we will thank the Lord for those spots and those places where he has made it so in our soul's experience. And we've remembered him in the places that we've come into. And we've seen that not only have we remembered, but it's been his work to make us remember. Well, we have then also a cause, a subject of eternal praise. Therefore shall the people praise thee forever and ever. Our Lord said, this people have I formed for myself, and they shall show forth my praise. The subjects of his grace and the subjects of the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Really, the way that we go here below, the Lord is filling up a cup of salvation for praise. And the psalmist says, I will take the cup of salvation. And with that, he is to render the praise unto the Lord. I haven't thought of that. And you, each one here, those of you that do have that cup of salvation, the Lord's people, in a sense, have this cup of salvation. And in it, you would put where the Lord first began with you. and you would put those things that the Lord has done for you, what he has taught you, the trials he's brought you through, the blessings that he's given you, temporal blessings as well as spiritual ones, the Lord's care, the Lord's kindness, and especially that provision of that lamb. How Isaac asked of that, "My father, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? My son, God will provide himself a lamb." And to see that and be in the cup of our salvation. In viewing that, the psalmist David, viewing over all what the Lord had led him, and we are told, "Thou shalt remember all the way the Lord thy God had led thee these 40 years in the wilderness," and there will be remembering of the name of the Lord. The psalmist said, in reviewing it all and standing where he was, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And that cup of salvation in a remembrance of the Lord's mercies in his beloved Son is the cause of praise for his people. What hath God wrought? The things that the Lord had done. When Jacob, after those years with Laban, came back, he had to come back to Bethel, where the Lord first blessed him and made those stones the very gate of heaven and made him to know the God of Bethel, and that was a sacred spot to him. And the Lord, at the end of his life, you say, when he blessed Joseph's sons, that the Lord, the God that fed me and clothed me and led me all my life long, bless the lads. Very different than his language before, "All these things are against me." Faith's view, looking back, and it sees of that name, "The crown shall be placed upon his head, and the glory and honour and praise shall be his alone." If we, some marks of the Lord's dealings and what is set forth, prophesied here, do we as it stand, coming back to our opening remarks, feel us standing in the place of fulfilled scripture and say, "He hath made his name to be remembered in my heart, in my generation, and that he hath given me a song of praise and thanksgiving unto my God, that he hath taught my tongue to sing his praise." These are sovereign mercies, is that which is given to his dear people to remember him. How many forget him? You might think it today. So many have no desire to know or remember his name at all. And don't just think that because we come into God's house that we remember his name. May we not just remember his name outwardly, but all what that name means, all what it means to a sinner, a hell-deserving sinner, all that it means to one who has no help in self but needs help laid upon one that is mighty. May we have that to remember of what the Lord hath done for us at Calvary and in us by his teaching and by his instruction. It is the Lord Jesus Christ that said to his disciples, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." And when he rose from the dead and the angels reminded them of what he had told them, then we read this, "And they remembered his words," and they would also remember his name. "He shall save his people from their sins. We trusted," said the two on the way to Emmaus, "that he should have been he that should have redeemed Israel." This is the third day, and our Lord said, "Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?" Beginning at Moses and all the scriptures, he opened up to them the things concerning himself. He brought these things before them, and they were to remember. Remember what is told of him, what was written of him, and that part that they themselves needed, that redemption in his name. Well, may the Lord bless this word to us here. I do so want that in speaking in the Lord's name is not just a sermon on a text. No, we need that living word. We need that saving work of God in our hearts. Don't come and go, dear friends, to God's house as a door upon its hinges. But may it be your prayer and desire that you might know this name and it be precious to you and you love his dear name. May the Lord add his blessing. Amen.
The collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. Let us close with hymn 1156. What sacred fountain yonder springs up from the throne of God, and all new covenant blessings brings. 'Tis Jesus' precious blood. Hymn 1156.
Sacred.
grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.